Auburn had a surprise visitor over the weekend, and it was a familiar face.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fye.
What's going on? We're back. It's episode 42 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and let's get this week kicked off and get going. We're going to talk about a surprise visitor over the weekend, along with some of the other stuff that's going on in recruiting, a big commitment, and then a big football commitment, and then obviously a basketball addition as well. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to our boy, Ford Stokes. Look, if you want to get you may have a 401k, but if you want to make sure it's actually working the way it needs to be working, you need to reach out to Ford and get a free 401k evaluation. Typically, that's about a $1,500 value. Elsewhere, you can have it absolutely free. He'll also teach you some tips to help delete the IRS completely from your retirement accounts. Tons of stuff. He's got a television show on Huntsville on 10:30s on Sundays, and then in Columbus on 8:30s on Sundays. Had a comment in the YouTube, some dude checking out the show in Huntsville last week. So good stuff. And then if you missed the episodes on television, you can check out they upload all the episodes at retirementresults.com. So check him out, Ford Stokes. Get that free 401k evaluation and just tell him War Eagle. Check him out, Active Wealth Management, Annuity 360, or retirementresults.com. Before we get started, I haven't really had a chance to comment on the Brian Batty situation, Batty situation. It's tragic. It's terrible. And obviously, we're praying for him. I don't even think your football is the last, one of the last worries, last thing you're worrying about in a scenario like this. Whether he'll come back to play or anything like that is the last thing on anybody's mind right now. You're just hoping and praying. I think he had a little bit of a setback, according to a tweet from Hugh. And hopefully going on the ventilator is just giving his chance for his brain to rest and his body to rest and heal. And it's not something more serious. But we'll obviously be thinking about their family. They've been gone through a lot this past weekend. Hoping he pulls through, man. Hoping he pulls through and he's able to live at least a functional life and have a good, live a normal lifespan instead of having it cut short so tragically early. So, definitely be thinking about the Batty family moving forward. All right. So there was a big visit weekend this weekend. We talked about it on the last show. You had a 5-star offensive tackle, you had a high 4-star offensive tackle, and then you had arguably your top running back on the board here for an official visit. Hugh wined and dined him. It was funny. It was my wedding anniversary this weekend, and it just so happened we went to the same restaurant that all the recruits were at on Saturday evening. So definitely they pulled no expenses and took him to the best place in town. So but that wasn't the only visitor that sort of surprised, or that wasn't the only visitor that showed up that really turned some heads. Alvin Henderson, Penn State commit, I say in quotation marks, because I told y'all there's no chance this child from Elba is going to go to Penn State if Auburn wants him. He comes back into town for an unofficial visit, I guess, this weekend. And Derek Nix had to pull a little bit double duty. I think we want to take two backs in the class, and those two kind of fit the mold of the kind of, if you want to have two guys that sort of have different strengths or different types of games, Usman Khroma and Alvin Henderson will be a fantastic class. But again, I think the whole, seeing the way that the Georgia recruiting board is filling up at running back, you got Bo Jackson that's possibly about to commit. There's another guy that's starting to get crystal balls. That's two running backs. It's just not realistic to take three running backs in college football in 2024. Especially, I think Georgia took two last year. It's just not realistic. You may can take two and you can get away with it. I honestly think taking two might be unrealistic as far as player retention goes, because kids are going to want to play. They're going to want to get in the mix early. And even if you have playing time to sell, a lot of times, you know, if that depth chart gets clogged up, they're going to bolt. So I think Alvin kind of saw the writing on the wall that, hey, Georgia could be filling up their class pretty quick. That means Usman Chroma could possibly, you know, start turning a little bit more towards Auburn. Auburn could put the press on him. I better make sure I'm still good at Auburn if I want to flip to Auburn in the future. And I think that was a lot of why, you know, you saw him show up this weekend. And Steve Wiltfong has put out a video, I believe, from On3 that talked about, hey, Auburn's getting primed for a flip here. I think it was sort of – I expected it to be a little bit later in the process, but I wouldn't be shocked if you start to see a little bit of momentum of Alvin possibly joining this class, regardless of all that's gone on around him, the about to commit, not about to commit, the random commitment to Penn State, whatever. Regardless, this staff loves this kid. I don't care about the competition he plays. I don't care about the, you know, the quote unquote fun he's having with the process. That stuff doesn't really bother me. That's why I told everybody when he committed, I said, in the world of the portal and the today's football, you got to be careful what you say when stuff comes out, because nobody's ever off the table. It's wild. Even if they're enrolled in another school, nobody's ever off the table. So be careful what you say, because it's a very real possibility that in the next couple of weeks, you could have Alvin Henderson back in this class. It's also a real possibility that he could be in the class. He could enroll in the class, not this coming December, but next December after his first season. So you just got to be careful, because this staff really likes this kid, and they think if they can get him on campus and work with him, the skill sets that he has, being able to make plays in space, being able to run between the tackles, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and being able to hit the home run, being able to take it to the house. This is a guy that is very, very coveted by this staff, as well as Usman Chroma. I'm not saying that they want this guy over this guy. I think if it's a perfect world, they take both of them. And maybe you have the clout to be able to pull both of them. But Alvin Henderson coming back shows you that kind of what I said prior, just be patient with him. Be patient with him, because he is having fun with this process from a small town. I get it. It's fine. You trust your coaches to be able to foster this relationship and work it towards the finish line. Him coming this weekend was big. And I'd love to have him. I'd love to add him. He helps your rankings. He has some name recognition. I think other people kind of want to play with him. So let's be nice. Let's be patient, and let's see what happens. I mean, I do still think you're going to push hard for, like I said, Usman Chroma. You're going to try to take two backs in this class. There are several other guys that you could possibly make a run at, but if you could hit these two guys, that's a grand slam. That's a grand slam. You got your 215-ish, your big back, your big every down back, and then you got your changeup guy in Alvin Henderson, a dude that can come in on third down and, you know, turn a check down into a, you know, 20 plus yard game. That he's got that type of skill set. And then you got Usman Chroma, who will just run through your face and then run around you and run by you. He can do a little bit of it all, but he's going to be more of your feature back, your every down back. And you know, we got to have that. You got to have that. After this year, you only have two scholarship running backs. Even if you bring in these two guys, you may even have to look. If you don't bring in two, you may have to look to the portal. You're probably going to have to look to the portal. So it's good to get him back on campus. So I'm happy that he's back on campus. I want him here as much as possible, because I want him in the class. The previous drama, if you even want to call it that, doesn't matter to me. I want this kid in the class. So visits, though, there's still some big visits. This past weekend was big. Made a huge move with Andrew Babalola to where it could possibly even be just an Auburn and Stanford battle. And with Stanford now in the conference upheaval and joining the ACC, which is wild, and how weak that conference is as a whole. If it's truly an Auburn versus Stanford battle, even though, you know, Auburn did lose someone to Stanford recently, Khalil House, you still got to feel like you got a pretty good shot at this guy moving forward. So a five-star offensive tackle, they love him, and they obviously are making him a priority. And I think Auburn feels like maybe we got a better shot than we thought we did after getting this kid on campus. Now, I know there's a such thing as visit high, but still, Auburn feels like they made a move with this kid, and we'll see how that goes playing forward. But this coming up, not this weekend. There's probably going to be a few surprise visitors this weekend, but there's not a big visit weekend set up because the weekend, there's a short dead period that I think either starts on Sunday or Monday. So you want to give kids the full chance to possibly stay as long as they want to and not have to cut things short. But you do have a huge visit weekend scheduled for the following weekend, the 31st. You got five-star Caleb Cunningham coming in. I think you have newly decommitted a corner from Ohio State, that decommitted from Ohio State, coming in to visit. You got Broderick Scholl, who could be on commit watch. And then you have Broderick Scholl. And then you have Kalen Edwards, who was a former Auburn commit that Auburn feels like, hey, okay, we're going to get you back in and get this thing rolling, you know, and possibly go ahead and get you back on board. So there were some 2026 kids that came in this past weekend. There were several guys recruiting. This is a big recruiting period where you're going to see a lot of action start happening here over the next several weeks. You got a couple of commitment dates coming up with Jamichael Garrett from Gulf Shores. You got another commitment date coming up with Eric Winters. That's going to be a battle down to the end. So you got some stuff coming up, and you're going to start seeing the big guys coming rolling in through your visits. And then obviously you got the big Juju visit here around the middle of June. So let's see what happens, and I'll try to keep you in the loop. Another thing that happened this weekend was you had a big commitment from Dante Core. He's a cornerback from Fort Walton Beach. You're not going to be wowed by his ranking right now. Currently, he's a three-star commit from, like I said, from Fort Walton Beach. Great length, 6'1", 165, 170. Great length for a corner in high school. But this is a kid who's right on the verge of the, like, really getting out there as far as from a noticeability, recognition. He's really starting to build his reputation. I think as soon as Auburn offered early in the year, somewhere around January or February, everybody started saying, okay, who is this kid? Who is this kid? You got Ole Miss that started to kind of push hard. He went on a visit to Ole Miss. There are several guys that were close, really close, several big-time teams that are really close to starting to really pursue this kid. Auburn's loved this kid from the first time he's come to campus. They evaluated this kid hard. They've wanted him from the beginning. And again, when you if you take a kid like this early, that means you really think highly of him. Now, if you start taking kids late like this, that means you probably missed on some targets. This is a guy they wanted. This is one of your first defensive back commits, your second one total. This is one that you had high on your board, and you went ahead and got him. I like him. I like this kid. I think he's got a little bit of versatility to him. He can play outside. He can play inside. He can maybe even do a little bit of return stuff. Fort Walton's not really known to be a powerhouse in football. But this kid obviously stands out, and he'll camp a lot this summer and probably get even more eyes on him now that he's Auburn commit, Dante Core. And that'll obviously just help, you know, possibly help bolster his rankings and things like that. That's typically how these things work. A lot of times when you see kids like this, when big schools are on them, so like Auburn, Ole Miss, teams like that are on these kids early, that means – They're just a little bit ahead. They're typically just a little bit ahead of the recruiting ranking services, because they see these guys. You either have your big names that everybody knows, or they find these guys at camps and things like that. And that's what I think is going to end up happening. I mean, he had offers from Ole Miss LSU, Tennessee, schools like that, you know, that tells you a few things about that. I care a little bit more about offers than I do star rankings and things like that. But I think that this kid is could be special, could be one of those kids that, you know, wants to come in and work hard. And you got him in early. You got him in early so he can start helping you recruit as well. So who's next? There's like a litany of guys that could possibly pop next. And it's really hard to know exactly who that's going to be. It's really hard to know who that'll be. You look at some of the commitment dates you got coming up. Like you said, you got Eric Winters, but I think that's July-ish. So surely you're going to have some pop. I think possibly the next one will be maybe Broderick Scholl, who comes to visit next weekend. But who knows? You could have something happen between now and then. There's just a lot of guys, a lot of action going on, and really starting to sort that board out. You're starting to see a lot of kids commit everywhere, as far as all over the country, all over the Southeast. So this is commitment time. Summer is a big time to start getting commitments, and I think Auburn's going to get rolling here. You get it going with Dante Core. You go ahead and you get Broderick Scholl, and then who knows what happens. You flip Alvin Henderson that we just talked about earlier, and you could have a pretty big couple of months. And then you cap it off. You have Eric Winters towards the middle of July. And then you got Big Cat Weekend at the end of July, where you're going to have just an incredible list of visitors. And what if you pull off the Juju Lewis flip that seems more and more likely to be able to happen? You could have just an electric couple of months. So let's see what happens and see how it plays out. All right, before we talk about basketball, we got to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off every single order from now until they shut the place down. And hopefully that never happens. There's a roast for everybody. You can get the darkest of the dark. You can get the lightest of the light. However you like it, they got it. And you can take 10% off your order. So be sure to check them out, plainscoffee.com. And if you don't like coffee, they got hot teas and things like that too. So show them some love, plainscoffee.com. Another shout out. I don't have an ad for it, but the Joint Chiropractic. Boyce Callahan, I go to him in the Tigertown location, but they're all over. But the Tigertown location specifically right beside Kroger is where I go to try to treat a little bit of some nagging pain, some range of motion stuff in my neck that I've had. Boyce is awesome. He's flexible as far as like getting you in. He can get you in and get you out. Sometimes you may have a misunderstanding of what a chiropractic visit is like. It's not like a doctor's office where you go and you sit for 20, 30 minutes. You go in, you get adjusted, and you get out. I mean, you're talking 10 minutes. So on your lunch break, things like that, you got some little issues. That first visit may take a little bit longer to kind of figure out what's going on, and then boom, you're in, you're adjusted, you're out, and you're feeling good, and you're moving around. So check them out, the Joint Chiropractic, Boyce Callahan in Tigertown, right beside Kroger. That's the one I go to, but they're all over the place. And a lot of times your memberships will transfer. Your memberships work kind of at all the different locations. All right, moving on, basketball. All right, so there was an addition over the weekend, Jaheim Hudson, and he is going to be a true forward, like a true power forward, okay? Somebody that I don't think is going to really fill up the stat sheet, but somebody that's going to be able to come play good, tough minutes when they're asked to do it. And honestly, this is the type of guys. I saw some people that were a little bit let down maybe or whatever. And the thing is, this is the kind of player I expected the whole time. You know, a upside athletic type player who's bigger. We needed a bigger body there, but somebody that's going to come play 14 to 15 minutes. And hopefully in those 14 to 15 minutes, they're getting crashing the boards, getting rebounds, putbacks, things of that nature. I just didn't expect this is going to be some guy to come in and really stretch the floor, you know, and be able to take over. I don't think when you have Chaney, who, regardless of what you and I think, I think very highly of him, but a lot of people that are sort of, you know, unsure about Chaney. I'll tell you who's not unsure about Chaney, and that's Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl and this whole staff. They love this kid. They love the fact that he can stretch the floor. He can pop out and hit a three, which he's shown to do. He can score volume. He's shown at times he can score at volume, and he can sort of maybe get close to replacing that production that Jalen Williams had. He's got the ability. You know, that's one thing we always talked about Jalen. We always knew he had the ability, but could he ever flip that switch and be the guy? And I think Chaney shown a lot of the same type of characteristics, that if he can flip that switch, which he did at times last year, but if he can flip that switch, he can be that guy. He can be that guy to give you, you know, 10, 12 points a game. And then on top of all that, you're going to see Janai Broome play a little bit at the four, not 20 minutes a game, but again, so when you couple Chaney and you couple Janai Broome that are going to be playing that position, it's really hard to expect that you're just going to go get this guy that scores 17, 18 points a game to come in and jump in that was playing probably close to 30 minutes a game. It's really hard to imagine that you're going to bring in a guy like that to be able to sort of – that they'll want to, A, compete with that, and, B, be okay with being behind that, because you've got some really talented players in front of you. So I think Jaheim Hudson fits the mold of exactly what we needed. I loved it. Bruce did a little press conference, and they call him Turtle. I think this because he's got this big old kid and he's got a small turtle head or something like that. I didn't really 100% understand the reference, but that's his nickname. They call him Turtle. So we added Turtle, and I don't think we're done. I don't think we're done. There's a couple. I think you're going to go your last spot according to a bunch of different reports, and I think one of the best people that you can follow as far as news on basketball is Justin Hokanson and On3, and there's some big guards. I think big guard is going to be your last position that you're going to add, and it could be possibly there's two or three different options that you could possibly be looking at. Obviously, you got I think Miles Kelly is a guy from Georgia Tech that you're looking at, that is, you know, a 6'6 combo type player that could do a little bit of everything. Again, he's 6'6, right around 190, 200 pounds. Probably play a little bit of two, could play a little bit of three. That could be a guy you're looking at. And then you got guys like Arthur Kaluma from Kansas State, who is a very impressive player. He's probably could play. He's a little bit more, even more big than that, and he could play the 4-3. You know, he could play four in some spots and give you some offense, and he could play three. And then you got a guy like the dude that I'm hoping we push for the most is Jameer Watkins from Florida State. He averaged 15 points a game last year. He's a fairly decent 3-point shooter, good at the line. 6'7", a guy that could play 3-4, do a little bit of it all. You're going to go big guard. I think Bruce is okay with JP Pegues, and then a combination for backup at point at either, you know, Denver or Tahad at running the point. And I think you're fine with that. Denver ran a little bit of point last year and was effective at times. I think the goal in general is to try to get the ball in Denver's hands as much as possible. So if you can land a Miles Kelly, if you can land a Jameer Watkins, if you can land an Arthur Kaluma, if you can land one of those guys, one of those three guys, you have a very, 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 very high ceiling of what you can put on the floor as far as talented guards. And I think that's what we've all wanted. That's what we've all asked for. Coupled with what you have coming back, you could have a really potent 1-2, you know, 1-2 punch. You just don't have you may not have the drop off. Like, there were some offensive lineups last year where you're hoping that you just survive. You know what I mean? You're just hoping that you survive because the offensive production, just you could look at it, you could see these guys are not necessarily scoring guys. And that's why, you know, Chad at times had to come off the bench, because when he would come in that first rotation, he could still score. You know, he could still score. So that helped that whole rotation be able to have at least some offensive presence. This one, I mean, I don't know that there's going to be that. You know, obviously when Dylan comes in at five, he's not as much of an offensive threat as you know, a Janai Broom. But if you got Dylan's at the five, and then you slide over Janai to the four for a little bit, you kind of negate that. You kind of negate that void there. And then if you got a guy like again, Arthur Kaluma, Jameer Watkins that can platoon over there with Chaney every so often to be able to supplement the four when Dylan comes in. You just got options. You add one of these guys, you just got options. Chad's versatile. Chad could play two some if he needed to, while Denver played point guard or Todd played point guard. It's just, I feel like Bruce is building a very offensive team that, whenever you start going through these sub packages, you're not really dropping off the offensive production very much. So, again, you add Jaheim Hudson. He feels a need. He feels a need of a few minutes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game, where he can come in, bang around, play defense, get rebounds. And then he's got some ability to score. He's even, you know, he's not even a terrible three-point shooter. You know, I think he shoots over 30% from three, and he's really good from the line. So, can you get in, bang around, get to the line a few times? That's all you really need out of that position. And apparently, Bruce says he has 2 years left. I don't see how he has 2 years left, but I'll trust them on that. So, you know, could he develop into something? You know, Chaney's gone after this year. Could, you know, he come in, learn, and be a little bit better of an offensive option next year? We'll have to see. But the team in general, I like the way the pieces are falling into place. And just remember how good this roster was last year. And you basically bring back the vast majority of the scoring from last year. So don't get caught up in the additions. Look at what you got. And then we're just trying to supplement and add some spots here or there. But if you get one of these big guards, one of these 6'6 plus combo guys that can play, you know, two, three, or four at times, you just give yourself so much flexibility, so many options to be able to try to make a deep run, because we're going to have an absolutely brutal schedule this year. I think Bruce has said this is going to be one of the toughest schedules he's ever had. And you're looking at some of the you got the Maui Invitational that's got, you know, several, you know, top you got several top teams playing in there. You got all kinds of guys. All kinds of teams. You're looking at the ACC, SEC Challenge. Who are we going to play there? Could it be Duke? Could it be an NC State that played in the Final Four last year? And then there's rumors of a big Final Four team that we played, that we're going to play in Birmingham. And a lot of people are talking about it could possibly be Purdue. Or, I mean, it could be NC State as well, but I think Purdue kind of makes the most sense. And then I think UConn is in the Maui Invitational. I could be wrong on that, but you have an opportunity possibly to play all of the Final Four teams from last year, at least three of them of the Final Four teams from last year, which would be insane. You know, with Alabama, you know, you might could play all four if the right scheduling stuff works, which would be insane. We're gonna have a lot of fun in the out of conference. Really gonna get these guys tested early, getting ready for the conference play. But as you saw with Alabama this year, you don't even have to beat the teams that you schedule if they're tough teams. If you just schedule them, you get the benefit of the doubt. And then if you knock off one or two, you just get that much more of a benefit. But just that strength of schedule helps, obviously, for seeding and different things like that. So basketball's fun. You know, this whole basketball deal's fun. The portal's fun. And we just need one more piece to finish this puzzle, and I think we'll be good to go. But, guys, that's going to be it for today. Let's see what happens moving forward. Obviously, keep Brian Battee and his family in your thoughts and prayers. Got to have that guy pull through, needing to pull through. He's too young to have to, you know, too young to be going through this. Already lost his brother. Just a tough, tough situation. So be thinking about them. Let's see how recruiting plays out. Hopefully we'll get a couple more commitments over the next few weeks, and then let's see how Bruce finishes out this roster. Trust Bruce. When in doubt, trust Bruce. He's never really let us down in the past. So when in doubt, trust Bruce. But anyway, guys, like and subscribe this video. Comment below. I'm going to comment back. We're going to have a conversation. We have 30 to 40 plus comments every single video of you know, people making comments and you know, I interact back. So if you got a hot take, you think I'm crazy, let me know about it and we'll talk about it. So follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and then we'll catch you back on Thursday. This is episode 42 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.